Joining me in the studio this afternoon is Mufti Ilyas. Inshallah, we have a question and answer session this afternoon with regards to Zakat, Ramadan, whether it is Sawm, whether it is I'tikaf, whether it is Taraweeh, and then also on any masail with regards to Hajj. So if you have any questions, you could phone in to our studios on 854-1548, or you could even fax your questions through to us, inshallah. We would read the questions on air, and then inshallah, Mufti Saab will give us the answers. However, what we have decided to do, inshallah, we would first of all ask Mufti Saab to give us the definitions of the various terminologies. What is the meaning of lillah? What is the definition of zakat, fidya, kafara, sadaqah? Many a time we hear these terms, but unfortunately we do not understand these terms. So inshallah, we would start off with this, and we would ask Mufti Saab to start off with the definitions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. These definitions concerning lillah, zakat, sadaqah, and then fidya and kafara. Inshallah, I will try to define them so that let alone you who are listening can be educated on it, but inshallah, those who are distributing it. Just of late, I came to know that many organizations, reputable ones also, notable ones also, that because they do not have, I must honestly and frankly say this, because they do not have ulama guidance, and they do not have ulama backup, and they do not have the ulama supervision, they don't even know the definitions of what I'm going to explain. Now, when they don't even know the definitions, then how are they going to distribute your kafara and your fidya? When a person, the organization, etc., so you should be very careful, and as a rule, before you give any organization, that do you know what you are going to do with my kafara? Do you know I'm giving you kafara? And do you know, first of all, what is kafara? And do you know what is fidya that I'm going to give you? Do you know how to utilize it? So let us start. Lillah will mean that any charity or any activity or anything done for Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, to gain His pleasure, to gain His proximity, to gain His nearness, that will be lillah. Now, as far as wealth is concerned, lillah has got no stipulated amount, and it has got tremendous reward. In fact, that it is very famous that when you give lillah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you tenfold. There's a very famous story about Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullah alayh, that she had one piece of bread, and about opening a fast, someone knocked at the door, a beggar. She gave it away. Someone in the locality was inspired to give her 10 bread in return. So he told his servant, go and give Rabia Basri 10. This person on the en route, on the way, he ate one up. So when Rabia Basri received 9, she said, no, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this calculation here. And he said, no, there's nothing wrong. My master has given. He said, yeah, but your master has given one shot here. I'm supposed to receive 10, not 9. Then eventually he said, no, on the en route I ate one. He said, no, now it's making sense, because very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that when you give one, I give you 10. And we must know fully in our mind that the more we give, the more we get. But shaitan puts it in our mind that even zakat also, you give, oh no, you'll get less, bank balance will go less. But in reality, Allah will give barakat in it, blessing in it, boons in it, and Allah will increase your wealth. So charity, the lillah, can be given to Muslim, non-Muslim. The lillah can be given to Muslim adult, non-Muslim adult. The lillah can be given to Muslim wealthy and non-Muslim wealthy. The lillah can be given to Muslim nabaligh. That means immature and non-Muslim nabaligh. And the person, you could give it to a poor person, a wealthy person, you could give it to a cause, you could build a masjid, you could put up a madrasa, you could build a well. And this is what is referred to in the hadith, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person passes away, then three things remain, and one is sadaqatul jariyah. Now he used the word sadaqah there. I'll explain now how come sadaqah. And the other one is that the knowledge, the ilm, by which mankind benefits. And this ilm here, please be very clear about it. This ilm refers to Islamic knowledge, not circular knowledge. Unfortunately, collections are made now for non-Islamic institutes using this hadith, which is wrong. Thirdly, an obedient son who makes dua. So we should make an effort to make our children obedient so that they become those who will make dua for us. Because even if he does not give charity on your behalf, he'll make dua for you. So when you pass away, even if he's a poor person, but he'll make dua for you, you'll benefit in the grave and the akhirah. So lillah, we've decided what is lillah, where it's supposed to go. Now zakat. Zakat, first of all, is calculated on the nisab. And the nisab is very simple, that if a person has got 87.479 grams of gold, or its value, or 612.35 grams of silver, or its value, then the person is one who is liable to give out zakat. And the simple formula for now, understand it, is assets minus liabilities, whatever is left, and you got it for one lunar year, you give 2.5% of that. Now, understand very clearly that zakat is obligatory, and zakat is not a tax. Because tax, the person, those who are giving taxes, you know, when you give tax, you don't give it willingly. Zakat, you give willingly. When you give taxes, you don't get any sawab. You give zakat, you get sawab. And tax, you give grudgingly. And zakat, you give wholeheartedly. And tax, you don't give for the pleasure of Allah. And zakat, you give for the pleasure of Allah. And tax does not purify your remaining wealth. Zakat purifies your remaining wealth. And tax is generally oppressive in nature. Zakat is not oppressive. Allah is wise, almighty, he is not oppressive. And tax, you don't generally see the benefit of it immediately. And zakat, you see, alhamdulillah, you see those whom you benefit. So there is a clear difference between zakat and tax. And definitely zakat is not a tax. Those who say zakat is a tax are misled. Zakat, whom you give now? The recipients of zakat have to be poor. The poor, the destitute, the wayfarer, the widow who is destitute and poor, the one who in debt, who went into debt without any negligence, and your poor relative, your poor kith and kin, but has to be Muslim. Zakat, the masraf, the persons who are to receive it, the recipients of it, have to be Muslim. Also, one formula I will give here that is not recorded in the books that we have written also, but it's a simple formula which I keep discussing. And in the previous time, I think our brother Ismail, he was very happy when we mentioned this formula, that if you stand up and if you open your arms, spread your arms, and you draw one line above you and draw one line below you, then all that is above you, your father, your grandfather, your mother, your grandmother, cannot receive zakat. All that's coming below you, your son, your daughter, they cannot receive zakat, and their offsprings. On the side, your brother on the right hand side, he can receive zakat and all what's coming from him. On the left, your sister and all what's coming from her, they can receive zakat and all that is coming. Simple formula, but if you remember it, you won't have any difficulty. My advice is very clear, that please, there are many who give zakat and become very famous I've given 100,000 zakat, and I've given so much zakat, and I've given so and so zakat, but their very families are suffering. So start from your families, your kith, your kin, your relatives. Go to those who are very near you, and you'll find sometimes their financial situation is pathetic. And it is the rule of Sharia that help those who are near you, and then proceed. We'll talk about that, inshallah, in some detail also. Now we get Sadaqatul Fitr. Sadaqatul Fitr is the Sadaqah. Now, let us talk about Sadaqah itself first. Sadaqah means basically charity. We get two types of Sadaqah. One is Wajib Sadaqah, and one is Nafil Optional Voluntary Sadaqah. Wajib Sadaqah is compulsory Sadaqah is, I'll give you a few examples so that it becomes closer for you to understand. Someone was sick and you made vow to Allah Ta'ala. Made a vow to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, if my beloved recovers from the ailment sickness, then I will cut one cow. The person recovered. Now that which was optional, you made wajib for you. Now when you made this thing, what optional wajib, that wajib becomes wajib uttasadduq. That which is wajib uttasadduq, compulsory to distribute, must go to the poor Muslim. So, but it is sadqa. For example, you say now, I have writing exam, if I pass, I'll give 100 rand away. In sadqa, you pass. And 100 rand you give to poor Muslim now. You come from Hajj and you say, Ya Allah, when I pass customs with all what I got, then I'll give 200 rand in sadqah. Now that which was optional, you made it wajib, and when you pass customs with flying colors, then you go and give that to poor Muslim. There's one other sadqah. You see, sometimes when you were small and you were not feeling well and you were pretending and you wanted ice cream, etc., so you were lying in the bed, your mother said, okay, now we'll have to do something. My child is not getting well. So a beggar knocked at the door. Then the mother came and with some flour and some rice and sometimes some oil, etc. And some places they do some very funny things. They touch the person also. Some places they take all that food and they go around the person 7 times also. Some places they touch from head to toe 7 times. Then they take it and give it to the beggar and say, sadaqah. This is what we term in my terminology, Sadaqatul Bala. The Sadaqah to get out the Bala, the misfortune or the calamity. So, there also, actually, this is a voluntary thing. Voluntary, for example, you went to a petrol station. You went to a petrol station and you filled up and you gave one Sadaqah, charity. And you gave it to a non Muslim, but you made it, Chadishad, Ya Allah, make my journey easy. So you gave sadaqah for journey. Ya Allah, make my journey easy. And it is very good, alhamdulillah, this is nice. And many times we have experienced that sometimes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the road, there is near accident and you are saved. So you say, inshallah, I have given sadaqah, Allah ta'ala has made it safe. So, now that is one type of sadaqah. Now when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of sadaqatul jariyah, he referred to the optional sadaqah. And this optional sadaqah is like lillah. But the wajib sadaqah is only for poor. So the optional sadaqah is like lillah, and the hadith which talks of sadaqatul jariyah is talking of this optional sadaqah. So we have now got lillah done, we have got sadaqah and sadaqatul fitr. Sadaqatul fitr, now we know it is 10 and 50, and actually it has been calculated upon the 87 grams of the grain of the barley, etc. And a person should give it out before they eat salat. The various jamiat bodies, etc. Are collecting. Are you collecting yet?
No, I don't think we have started it yet.
Okay. So, wherever you find that you will give it to responsible, reliable people, go and give it. The Sadaqatul Fitr is actually, we make a lot of mistakes while we are fasting. Mistakes which don't break the fast. but mistakes that hinder the sawab of the fast. So when we give out the sadqatul fitr, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us full reward, etc. So the sadqatul fitr should be given before the Eid salat itself, and it is wajib upon any male or female Muslim who has got value of goods to the value of nisab. And that every Muslim has got that. Because when you take your personal effects into account, then every Muslim, alhamdulillah, has got that. Now the recipients of sadqatul fitr are the same as zakat, and the same as wajib sadqa. So wajib sadqa, zakat, sadqatul fitr, all are the same recipients. The poor, the destitute, the widow who is poor, the wayfarer, the one in debt, etc. Then we come across what we call fidya. Now in this month of Ramadan, we get a person who is man but very old. Then we get female, very old. Man, the Sheikh Khifani, we call in Arabic, or the lady, the Ajuza, he is very old. But the fatwa, the ruling is not on the age of the person. The ruling is upon the health of the person. Alhamdulillah, you get, I was very happy to know lately, there was a lady, 82 years old, she was fasting. So, alhamdulillah. Now, this law applies to the person who is very weak. Weak, fatigue, feeble, due to health reasons, valid health reasons, he cannot, he or she cannot fast. And this person here, or due to the advice of a reliable, pious, righteous doctor, who says, no, you should not fast, then the person is, there is no scope of him recovering and keeping the fast, then the person gives fidya. Basically, it is for a person who is so weak that the grave is calling him. That the grave is calling him, that this person is ready for the grave, and now there is no question of this person fasting. So this person gives what we call fidya. Fidya will be the same amount of, technically speaking, sadqatul fitr. That is 1 sa' of wheat, or 1.6 kilograms of wheat, or 3.2 kilograms of barley, or any grain. So, or its price. So the fidya more or less will be your sadqatul fitr price. And in our time, 10 red 50. So for each fast, one sadqatul fitr price of fidya, tell red 50. Here also, because we are talking about giving out, that person who, due to ill health, etc., valid shari ill health, cannot perform salah, then they give out the kafara for that. That is will be sadqatul fitr amount for that year for 6 salat per day. The 5 daily salat plus the sadqatul plus the wajib, the witr wajib. So the 6 per day. Now we come to the question of kafara. Now kafara would mean that a person in the month of Ramadan, unfortunately broke the fast. And the person broke the fast willfully, purposefully, voluntarily. The person, he or she broke the fast. That means intentionally, willfully, purposefully, the person broke the fast. Now the person here has to give kafara and qaza. The qaza and the kafara will run as follows. First of all, the sequence. One is to free one slave, and even if the slave be non-Muslim. So this does not apply to our area, in our country at the moment. Secondly, is if one cannot do that, then is to fast 2 consecutive months. That means without having a break. That means to fast 60 days. And that one qaza, 61 days. Now the person who, alhamdulillah, does this, he must fast, and he must not design or table his fast for Eid al-Adha or the Ayyam al-Tashri, the 3 days after Eid al-Adha.
If he does that, that means his continuity has got a gap and is broken. Therefore, he will not be fulfilling the 60 day. But generally, people do not want to fast 60 days. They say it's too hard, too difficult. Then the person, what he has to do is to feed 60 poor and hungry two meals. The condition is that the poor people must be the same person for both the meals. Otherwise, the kafara will not be fulfilled. So basically, 120 meals. But 60 poor people, two meals. And the condition is same 60 and the people must be hungry. Feed one person for 60 days, two meals. It is not permissible to give one person on one day the food for 60 days or its price. Obviously, that is not permissible. Or if you cannot do that, to give each of the 60 poor person one sa' of meat or wheat, one sa' of wheat flour, one sa' of wheat porridge, or one sa' of date, or one sa' of barley. And the sa' is equivalent to 87.48 grams. Basically, again we're back. Now 87.48 grams, we will go back to the Sadqatul Fitr amount. So Alhamdulillah, now we have discussed what is Lillah, where to give it. Lillah has got no, as I told you, set, stipulated, specified amount. Zakat, 2.5%. And fitra, we have mentioned the amount. Kafara, yes. Now, and we have mentioned about fidya. One, two other maslahs, because we are discussing on this program the laws about fasting, about itikaf, about zakat, and about hajj. Now, sometimes in hajj, a person makes a minor error. A minor error, for example, a few strands of hair fall off. Not pulled off, fall off. Then you give handful of dates out in as sadaqah, or handful of barley, value out in sadaqah, or wheat out in sadaqah. Then sometimes when you do such an activity which makes you give a penalty which is equivalent to sadaqatul fitr. For example, a person, he paid one nail only, so he gives sadaqatul fitr amount out in charity. Again, the masraf, or the place where it's going, is going to go to the poor person. Sometimes a person, unfortunately in hajj, he or she commits an error leaving out a wajib, then he has to give a dam. This dam is one goat or one sheep or one portion, one seventh of a big animal. Then there are two other scenarios where a budna comes into action. Budna is a sacrifice of a big animal, camel, buffalo, cow, bull. Now a person has relationship before the day of Arafah, then a person has to cut one cow or a camel. Hajj is invalid. He continues with the proceedings of Hajj and performs the Hajj in the next year. A person has a relationship after Arafat, before Tawaf al-Ziyarah, one budna, but Hajj is valid. So Alhamdulillah, now we've got a fairly good idea of all these things. In fact, someone should try to draw one table that put on one side Lillah, next column define it, third column write where it's supposed to go, and fourth column the percentage or to be distributed. So if you can do this with Lillah, with Zakat, Wajib Sadqa, Nafil Sadqa, Fidya, Kafara. See, Maulana is smiling, he thinks I'm going to do
it. Yeah, I was just thinking that someone is sitting in the studio. Jazakallah for those definitions. Inshallah, we're going to go for a break. When we do come back from the break, inshallah, we're going to be tuning in. You're listening to Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. And Alhamdulillah, joining me this afternoon in the studio is Mufti Ilyas. Time to take on the questions of our listeners. Before we do go for the questions, we have one announcement, and this is Pick and Pay Hypermarkets. Wish all our Muslim customers well over the fast, and to coincide with this, take advantage of some fantastic Ramadan specials. Snowflake cake flour at 23.99. Today, puff pastry 400 grams at 3.99. Clover ghee 2 kilograms at 59.99. Chai salted butter 500 grams at 11.99. And Majul fresh dates per kilogram at 38.95. These specials are available until the 2nd of November. Ethiopic Kente hypermarket. Also note that we have extended weekend trading hours and at all our hypermarkets, Saturdays until 5 p.m. and Sundays until 3 p.m. Okay, coming back to our program, we have questions that have already come in. This is via the fax. And once again, to our listeners, if you do not want to come on air and if you feel that you want your question to be aired, then you could fax it through to us on 854-7024 or 7025. Or if you want to call in, our number to dial is 854-1548. Our engineer, Shahjad, is taking on calls. Okay, the first question that we do have, and this is with regards to zakat. The question reads, Mufti Sahib, zakat on my wealth is due in the month of Ramadan. In Sha'ban, I sold my car and gave the money to a Hajj agent. Do I have to pay zakat on the money received from the car sale?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Since you sold your car and you have taken that money and have given it away already, then you do not have to pay zakat on that money because you do not have what we call possession of that money. Now, in Islam, in order for zakat to become liable, you'll have to have what we call an asset. And we have to define what is an asset. And a few points you must take down, note, so that you can classify what is an asset and what is not. Because the formula that we gave you, asset minus liability, it will have 1% of that. So the asset has to be defined. The asset will be that which is in your ownership. So ownership. Secondly, that is which is in your possession. Thirdly, that which is in your control. And fourthly, that upon which you have got haqq at-tasarruf, right of distribution. And fifthly, that which has got all the above four qualities has to be with you for one lunar year. Now that is another nice way of defining what is an asset. So now you got your car, you sold your car, you got your money, but you gave it away. When you gave it away, you got no possession of it, you got no control of it, in fact you're not owner of it also. So when you're not even owner of it, because now the agent is owner of it, and he will give you the goods or the merchandise by way of accommodation, etc., when you go for Hajj, so you don't pay on that.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have a call on 9% anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Well, I just want to know, you mentioned that zakat is payable on assets minus your liability, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the liability is a loan and the principal amount is, for example, 20,000, the banks would work out with your interest and everything, you owe much more than that. So is it minus the whole amount or just minus the principal amount which you took out?
Ji, you see, at this moment, for example, you took a loan. Let's say you took a loan from a bank or you took a loan from a person. Then, or unfortunately, you got yourself involved in a bond. Or unfortunately, you got yourself in a higher purchase transaction. So, you don't take the capital amount, but you take the installment. The installment times 12. Because you are calculating for 12 months. So a person may owe 100,000 rand, and that is liability. So if you calculate zakat, you can't be liable to give zakat because that capital amount is too huge.
Mm-hmm.
But a person is repaying 2,000 rand a month, so that will be 24,000. So now assets minus 24 will, inshallah, make a person liable to give zakat.
Okay, jazakallah for that call. The next question that you do have. We have another caller online. This is Brother Hussein. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. My question on zakat.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is consensus that if you take stock of your goods, you have to take the market value of it.
Mm-hmm.
When doing your zakat. I'd like to know if you give your zakat in the form of goods, do you take the also the market value or do you take the cost of it?
The market value will tantamount to the cost. If you look at it very carefully, then you will find that the market-related value will also be your cost price. When we talk of market related value, we are actually saying that when you want to rebuy that goods, then how much will you pay for it? So that's a market related value. So when you are giving out zakat, then you can take the market related value price.
Okay, we have another caller. This is an anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Another question, please. Mm-hmm. My mother wishes to send her zakat to her relatives in India, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a substantial amount. Now, the cost incurred in sending, will it be borne by her or is it taken out of the zakat amount?
The cost incurred has to be from Lillah.
Okay.
The cost incurred would not be from zakat. Because the zakat has to be given to the person. The person has to become owner of that zakat.
Okay.
Now, the commission or the transfer cost or whatever cost incurred, whatever they may be, in whichever form they be, have to be given from Lillah funds.
Okay, and one more question. Say she had about, for example, a certain amount for about 10 or 15 years which she didn't pay zakat on. Now, must you take out zakat on the whole amount times 2.5% times 15 years, or is it per year minus what's left, and then you work out on that amount, and then each year you work out on the remaining amount? Like, for example...
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
I understand the question. This exercise Brother Ismail did for me.
Yes.
And we came to the conclusion whether you work it this way or the other way, you come to the same figure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whether you work it out year by year, going backwards, or whether you do it with the capital on hand, take 2.5%, you still come to the same figure. So, inshallah, by the calculation system which is Brother Ismail did for us, alhamdulillah, you can just take the capital amount and do 2.5%. And I'm so happy that, and others who are listening to, if you have not paid your zakat for the years gone by, please don't earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give the zakat. And as soon as you give the zakat, you will notice barakah in the life, and you will notice Allah will give you many, much more.
Okay, jazakallah for that call. We take on our next caller, and this is Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam. I have a question for Mufti Saab.
Ji, go ahead.
I have a business, and it's a takeaway combined with a superette, right? And now, do I pay zakat on my stocks? Because my stock rotates, and there's nothing that stands there for like a whole year, a whole financial year, or a calendar year.
No, you'll stay online for a little while, okay?
Okay, jazakallah.
No, stay online.
Don't put the phone down.
I won't.
Muftab would want to ask you more questions, I think, so as well.
You see, you must take stock at your financial year. And generally, Muslims do give out their zakat, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan. And why? Because we get much more sawab in the month of Ramadan. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, if you do a faraz year, you get 70 times more reward. So, what you must do, take your stock. And you know that this stock is your average estimated approximation stock. So you give on that.
Right.
Because I do realize what you are saying. You got all the time a rotating stock. But you as a businessman, you know that, listen, I'm carrying 50,000 rand stock like an average. And be on the safe side, just little inflate it a little bit. So that you are on the safe side.
Oh, jazakallah, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Our next caller, this is Fatima. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can I speak to Maulana, please?
Maulana is in the studio. You can pose your question, Appa.
Eh?
You can ask the question.
Yes, madam. Maulana?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Maulana?
Ji.
I'm so poor. I'm only getting pension.
Ji.
I'm living on the pension.
Ji.
Mm-hmm. Can I give zakat?
If your pension that you are getting,
yeah,
if you are spending it by the month is finished,
yeah,
then you don't give zakat.
Jazakallah, Maulana.
Okay, jazakallah for that caller. We have another caller. This is Brother Abu Bakr on line 5. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, yourself.
What I want to ask Mufti Saab is, if someone has borrowed money from you,
mm-hmm,
now it's over a period of 10 years, and the guy left the country, he hasn't come back to you. So what do you still take out zakat for it, or what do you do in that case?
That you write off a bad debt, because it looks like you're not going to get that money back. Now, when you got no hope of getting that money back, then you leave it out. You do not put it as your assets.
It's quite a few years and he hasn't come
back. Yes, he hasn't come back and he won't take your telephone call too.
JazakAllah for that call. If you have any questions with regards to zakat, your Ramadan fasting, Taraweeh, i'tikaf, or even Hajj, then don't forget you could give us a call on 854-1548, or you could even fax us your questions on 854-7024 or 7025. The next question that we have, Mufti Saab, someone is paying for my Hajj ticket. He is giving money directly to the agent. Now, do I pay zakat on this money?
Again, now the formula that I mentioned to you about ownership, control, possession. So once we put that formula into action, and once we activate it, now this person here, he's not even got ownership of it. He does not even have control of it. He does not have possession of it. So why he must give zakat on it? So it's going direct to the agent. However, as a point about the Hajj and the agentship, and alhamdulillah, when you're going for Hajj, please make sure you sign one contract. You must sign one contract between the Haji and the agent. Make matters clear as the Quran has stipulated that when you have a business transaction, put it down in writing. Even if it sounds minute, put it down.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Then we have a call online. It's Tahira. Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam. Mulana, I'd just like to pose a question to you.
Sure.
I'd like to know, if you have a savings for Hajj, do you need to take out zakat as well?
Okay. Is that the only question you have?
Si.
Okay, you'll listen on air, right?
JazakAllah.
Salaam.
See, at the time, he has got savings for Hajj. Now, at the time of calculating zakat, if the savings were in her possession and control, obviously, she will have classified it as her asset, and she will give zakat on it. But if she's got savings, and before calculating zakat, she gave it away to the agent, then she got no ownership or possession of it. But as I understand, she's got savings, and it is in her ownership and possession, then she must give zakat on that.
Okay, the next question that we do have, can one give new clothing for zakat, personal and not business?
Yes, a person can give new clothing as zakat, and you evaluate it, current market evaluation. Don't escalate it. Give current market value to it. As far as giving clothing and kind, etc., one should remember and realize something. That sometimes you give kind, and we say that question comes out, but it is dead stock for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, must I give the dead stock? So, dead stock may be dead for a wealthy class of people, but that same very dead stock can be live for some other area, some other poor community, some other poor Muslim community. So, first of all, we must be careful that every stock is not dead stock. And as a rule, try to give good stuff and don't give that which you would not like yourself to be wearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, JazakAllah for that answer. The next question that we do have, and this is with regards to Hajj, explain hijab for women while in the state of ihram.
As far as the hijab is concerned, I will presume the covering of the face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the men, when they go into ihram, the state of ihram, then what symbolizes that they are in the ihram, that their head is open, their head is bare, and alhamdulillah they are in two pieces of cloth reciting talbiyah. But the female, the symbol which denotes that she is in ihram is the opening of the face, exposure of the face. Here is very interesting that the opening of the face in ihram is the exception. So the rule is what? Covering of the face. The ihram is the exception. Because the man also, the rule is he must have his head covered. The exception is ihram. And in ihram, the opening of the head. So the rule is covering of the head. And the rule is covering of the face. Now if a lady, if she is stringent about the laws of hijab, which is laudable, recommended and praiseworthy, then if she wants to cover her face, she can use for example the golfer's cap, and she can utilize that and let the cloth hang over the golfer's cap, so that it does not touch the face. Now, according to the Arab ulama, they say, no, don't use any cap or any contraption. They say, just cover the face. So if a lady even does that, because she does not cover her face for one day and one complete night, then she should give one, she should give some sadaqah out. That sadaqah which I was talking about. Mm-hmm. She gives some out, some money out in charity. But if she covers her face for one entire day and one entire night, then one dump becomes wajib, compulsory. So the lady should be cautious about covering the face. And here we'll just say on the lighter note that unfortunately most South African women, they are all the time in the state of Ihram.
Mufti Sahib, we have another call online. This is Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother. I've got two questions from Mufti Sahib.
You may go ahead with your questions.
Jazakallah. I just want to ask him, if my wife has been given a gift of jewelry by my mother for the wedding, do we take out zakat in that as well? And her late father left some money for her, which he bought a vehicle with. Does we take out my zakat in that as well, Molana?
Right. Just stay on the line.
Okay, Jazakallah.
What is that, you see, the jewelry which was given to her, that is in her ownership, her possession. So if it is more than the nisab, that means if it is more than 87 grams of gold, then she must give zakat on that.
Okay.
And as far as the money she was given and she bought a car for that, now she does not have to give zakat on that.
Okay. Jazakallah, Mulana.
Okay, Jazakallah for the call,
Muhammad. Have a nice Ramadan.
You too. Jazakallah for your call.
Jazakallah.
Wa rahmatullah. Our next caller is Brother Ishaq. Assalamu alaikum, Ishaq.
Wa salam. My question is about zakat.
Can you go ahead?
That if an example, a person earns about like 5,000 rands a month. And it so it happened that by the end of the month, he spends all that money, and behind it, even if he's left with about 200 rand, but he still owes people out to pay.
Yeah.
How much must he still give in zakat?
In this case, the person does not have to give zakat because he's earning 5,000 rand and he is spending it out completely.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, then that 200 rand to, if he has to take the 200 rand because the nisab of zakat is 802 rand, 24 cents, which is supposed to be in possession for one lunar year. So even if he's got 200 rand all the time, that would not make him liable to give zakat.
Okay. You see, because we sometimes fear, you know, because we feel that maybe sometimes we have to give zakat, but we don't have money enough, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do, as they say, now I got like 300 rand, but now what about that man I owe? How do I do that?
Now you
pay zakat, must I pay the man that I owe?
You must pay zakat. You must pay the person who you owe.
Oh.
Because remember very clearly that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that all the sins of the martyr are forgiven except death. So the person must pay the debt. He owes someone money, he must start paying the debt, make dua that Allah grant him the money, that he must pay this out.
Jazakallah, Ishaq.
Jazakallah, okay.
Okay, our next caller, this is Rashida. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Mukti Sahib.
Walaikum salam.
Rashida speaking, yeah?
Go ahead, Appa.
You know what, Dai? I'm collecting grant. Right? Only my income is a grant. I haven't got no money in the bank, nothing. I'm a widow.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pay my distinct zakat?
Now, the grant that you're getting, you spend it in the month.
Gee.
So, when the month end, you got no money left.
No, you're right.
So, you don't pay zakat.
Jazakallah,
Mufti Sahib. Okay, Jazakallah for that question. Question that we have, Mufti Sahib. This comes from my sister, and she says, what is more important, finishing one tilawah of the Quran and Kareem or performing Taraweeh namaz? Because she finds that there isn't enough time to make khatam of the Quran and Kareem and thereafter perform her Taraweeh as well.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as the two things are concerned, the Taraweeh is sunnat al-muakkadah, and also it is sunnah to complete to listening to one Quran in Taraweeh. And the sunnah al-muakkada, which is Taraweeh, should be adhered to because to read Quran al-Kareem in the month of Ramadan individually, there is no jurisprudence
juridic ruling on it.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this, that in Tarawih itself, a person wait for Tarawih, the men, that there are two sunnahs. And in fact, three. One is the Tarawih itself is sunnah. Second is the 20 rakats. Thirdly, to listen to the entire Quran. So the man should make it a point and not do like all previous Ramadan, that go for the first five Tarawihs and after that 27 night and after that Eid night or just before that. But should be constant. So the lady, she should make her Tarawih, and then she can make Salam after every four rakats. Why she must, if she's finding it difficult after every two, then make it after every four. And complete her Tarawih and space herself during the day so that she can earn reward, tremendous reward, by reciting Quran al-Karim during the day. And inshallah, she does that, then by the month is out, she'll complete that also.
Inshallah. Okay, the next question that we have, and this reads, I pay my zakat every month from my salary. However, I also have debt. I'm selling Switch and Chevro to make ends meet. Should I how should I calculate my zakat?
See, in this case, when you've got debts, then give preference to the debts. Because it is great importance that you, every Muslim must pay the debts. Many people also, unfortunately, who are floating high with their checkbooks in hand and giving a lot of charity, etc., are steeped in debt. And they are drowning in debt. But because now they have been classified as good donors and they have been classified as very good contributors, meanwhile they are wallowing in debt and drowning in debt. These people should not give charity, they should pay their debts first. The lady, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala grant barakat in that selling of chevro, etc., you should make an effort to pay your debts. Then inshallah Allah Ta'ala grant you wealth, you give zakah.
Inshallah. Okay, we have three callers in line. The first is an anonymous brother. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, seems that he's left us. The next caller, Amanullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Jibai, you can go in here.
I'd like to ask a question on zakat.
Mm-hmm.
My wife basically received some money from her parents, right? It was quite a sum. And she didn't know what to do, so she invested it in an investment. Okay, it was a property investment. However, now it's a year's gone now. How do you take out the zakat? Because it's only available after 5 years. Do you take out the zakat on a yearly basis, or do you take it out after 5 years, or basically you look at it on a yearly?
The property is bearing some rental now.
Yes.
So you will give zakat on the rental.
Give zakat on the rental. No, but this property is not basically a fixed property. It's an investment.
Now, is the property not giving any dividend?
No, it's not giving a dividend. It gives you a monthly amount, basically. That's about it.
So that monthly amount is your dividend.
That's the dividend.
Yes, so that dividend is like your rental.
Yeah.
So that you add all that up,
yeah,
and then inshallah you give zakat on that.
You just give zakat on that.
Yes.
Don't you basically give it on the total value of that property?
No, you don't give a total value of that property.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, you talk about this property, this is like an investment. It's not basically a property that you're going to get at the end of the day.
You are saying that is your capital.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say that is your capital,
mm-hmm,
and they have taken your capital and put it into some building,
yeah,
then you will pay on your capital.
You pay on the capital.
Yeah. And if you yourself took the capital and bought a property,
yeah,
then you will pay on the rental of the property, not on the property.
Okay, now, on this capital, do you do it on a yearly basis, or do you do it after 5 years? Or
on a yearly basis.
On a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. When it appreciates, you put it on basically on the appreciation.
Market value, market-related value.
Value. So it, every year it's on a market-related value.
Yes.
Okay, the other question I've got is possible to ask this question.
Sure, go ahead.
There's something when you work for them, they basically put their pension fund aside for you, okay? Now, that pension fund only comes available to you once you basically leave the company or basically when you retire.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, every year you basically get a statement to say what the value of your pension fund is.
Hmm.
Do you have to pay zakat on that pension fund on a yearly basis, or do you wait for retirement or when you leave the company?
You see, the pension fund, I mentioned one small formula that owner, you must have ownership, you must have possession, and you must have control.
Hmm.
pension fund and provident fund, you do not have control, you do not have possession of it.
Yes.
So you don't pay on it.
Okay. But what happens when if you leave
when
the company
you,
when they pay
you
out?
When they give it to you,
yeah.
When they give it to you,
yeah.
And you've got that money now in your ownership, possession, control for 1 year,
yeah.
Then you can give what you call zakat on it.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you got it and then you went on a very very big holiday, spent everything up, then you don't give money.
Okay,
JazakAllah for that call. We go to the next line, and this is Brother Rashid. Assalamu alaikum, Rashid.
Assalamu alaikum, salam. Brother, I've got a question here.
Mm-hmm.
I have a late estate of 300,000 rand from the business to settle to my family,
mm-hmm.
of which a fixed amount is payable monthly to them as arranged. I have a fair amount of cash on hand in the business. Is zakat payable on that?
If your amount, your cash in hand is more than the nisab,
yeah.
Then we'll classify that as asset.
Oh.
And then the installment that you're paying towards the 300,000,
yeah.
You take your installment times 12 and classify it as liability. You will not classify the 300,000 as liability.
Oh, okay. So what is, can you give me just another breakdown on that? If, what is the nisab?
Nisab is 802 rand.
802 rand 24 cents. Right. So this is well above that amount. So you're saying that zakat is definitely payable.
Yes.
Oh. Definitely.
You see, you are saying you got more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you will take all your money that you got, your cash, your
right.
money in the bank, and
yeah.
all that, everything, uplang and everything,
right.
you put it on side.
Right.
And then you take the liability that you got.
Yeah.
But you don't take the figure of 300,000 rand.
Yeah.
You take the installment times 12,
yeah,
and then put it as liability,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then you subtract it and get a figure.
Oh, okay, fine.
JazakAllah, Rashid.
JazakAllah.
Assalamu alaikum. Our next caller is Zina. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to Mufti Ilyas.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, I have two questions, right? My first question is that we know Ramadan is a month of mercy. Now, do the non Muslims also benefit from Allah's mercy during this month?
Okay, and your second question?
Okay, it's narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Bukhari Sharif that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 4 rakats of Taraweeh and 4 again, and then he performed 3 rakats of Witr Salah. Now, how do we interpret this hadith? Because then it's only 8 rakats of Taraweeh that he performed.
Stay online.
Okay.
First one is that whether non-Muslims benefit, let alone non-Muslims, there is a hadith in Bukhari that because of the sins of Muslims, the sparrow freezes to death. So the amal of the Muslim determines the condition of the people. So the amal of the Muslims, the action of the Muslim, determines the ahwal of the country and the locality. So that encompasses everybody, Muslim, let alone non-Muslim, even the animals.
Yeah.
So Muslims should be very cautious that because of their deeds and actions, the decision, the faisla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made. That's one. Secondly, that no way in Bukhari the word Taraweeh is attached to 4 rakats. No way in Bukhari the word 4 rakats is attached.
Okay, Mufti sir, maybe it was 2 rakats, meaning 2 rakats each. Meaning
again, no way it is written 2 rakats Taraweeh.
Yeah.
That is referring to his yearly procedure. Practice that all during the year, this 8 rakats is referring to Tahajjud Salat and not referring to Taraweeh Salat, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in Musannif ibn Shaybah that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salat, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in the hadith very clearly that alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatul khulafai rashideen, that hold fast to the sunnat, my sunnat, and the sunnat of the khulafai rashideen. The sunnat of the khulafai rashideen, namely the sunnat of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmail, is part of Shariat, and it is very, very clear that in the time of Hazrat Umar there was a bringing together of the reciters of Taraweeh, and in the time of Hazrat Ali he himself should recite 20 rakats. So 20 rakats is adequately, sufficiently proven academically.
JazakAllah
khair, Mufti, for clearing
that up.
Assalamu alaikum. Our next caller is Enver. Assalamu alaikum, Enver.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have a question for the Mufti Sahab.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a number of insurance policies for a number of years. They extend from retirement policies to investment portfolios. How do I actually calculate my zakat on that? That's the first question. And the second question also is that I have a number of Kruger coins which I just invested in. Now, the fact that it's not a year old, am I liable for zakat on that? Those are my two questions.
You can listen on it, inshallah.
Okay.
Okay, right,
I'm actually on the phone. I'm not anywhere near the radio.
Okay, not a problem.
As far as all your insurance policies are concerned, that there is a thing called surrender value.
Yes, correct.
There is a thing called surrender value, though you calculate on surrender value. One. Secondly, that your Kruger coins, that what you should do is, when you calculate your assets, because your Kruger coins are not 1 year, lunar year old, but because of the barakah of your assets being with you for 1 year, and now the Kruger coins have come, and maybe they are 3 months or certain, so you attach it to your assets. This is the reason why some Sufis deduce one very nice law, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. Sahaba Ikram became Sahaba because the Sohbat, because the contact which they had with him. And because of the barakah and the nur and the celestial light and the power which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam generated towards the Sahaba spiritually, Sahaba became Sahaba in a short duration of time because of Sohbat, of contact and relationship. So your Kruger coins, although they are not 1 year with you, but because they are in contact with assets which are with you for 1 year, therefore, because of that relationship, you will have to pay on those Kruger coins as well.
All right, Jazak. I have two more questions, Mufti Sahab. I'm sorry about this.
No, go ahead.
My daughter has just reached the age of puberty about a month ago, or maybe 2 months ago. Now, obviously, she has a fair amount of cash, and she has quite a bit of jewelry as well. Now, how do I calculate zakat in her case, for and on her behalf? I have made the intention that I will pay whatever zakat is liable that she has to pay.
Allah Ta'ala reward you for that, and inshallah you should also teach her how you're calculating it. So that you should also teach her how you're calculating it, so that she also learns the procedure of how to calculate the zakat. So alhamdulillah, now that she has become baligh, you can calculate from her bulugh, her time of maturity, 1 year from there. But if you want to do it now, it is permissible. Why?
Right.
Then it will be very easy in the years to come.
Right,
it will be very easy. Otherwise, what you'll have to do, if you're going to do it in a non-Ramzan month, then every non-Ramzan month, you'll have to calculate it with precision after that. But if you do it now in Ramzan, then inshallah it will become easier as life goes on.
Jazakallah, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our next call is an anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I've got 5 questions. Is it possible to ask all of them?
Okay, let's see how many we can take.
Okay, I just need to know, if you're a smoker and you've got wudu, does it break your wudu?
It does not break your wudu.
Yes. If you've got wudu and you smoke, does it break your wudu? It does not.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to know, body spray and roll-on. Most of them that you buy today contains alcohol, but it doesn't state on the bottle itself. Does it break? Can you make namaz with this clothes on? Maybe if you're spraying your clothes?
The body spray, if it's stating that it has got alcohol, the alcohol is used as a preservative. So when you press the nozzle, the alcohol evaporates, and alcohol does not come onto the body or the clothing. So it will be permissible to use that. But as far as the roll-on is concerned, and if it contains alcohol, that means the alcohol goes onto the clothing or the body, that area has to be washed prior to performance of salah.
My next question is, if you maybe take some medicine during Ramzan, maybe after iftar, like cough mixture or any other medicine, and it does contain alcohol, is it allowed?
If that's a last resort, and a person cannot afford a medication which does not have alcohol, and a person is destitute, poor, cannot afford a proper, valid, sharia permissible cough mixture, as a last resort, a person may take that medication.
Okay, and just one more thing. Is it wrong if you choose to read the English version of the Quran instead of the Arabic? Because, like in my case, I'm afraid I'm pronouncing some Arabic word incorrectly and it might give it a different meaning. So I'd rather prefer to read the English and understand at the same time what I'm reading. Is that permissible?
What you should do, that alhamdulillah, over this radio station, now I think for the whole 24 hours, they have got three different slots where Quran is being, five different slots where Quran is being recited, five different slots.
Mm-hmm.
So what you should do is that, alhamdulillah, find from the radio station, when are those five slots? Out of those five slots, try to listen to it for two times with your Quran open, and then you can follow and then practice and learn tajweed. However, you should also try to read one ruku at least of the translation, so that you can understand what Allah Ta'ala is trying to, what Allah Ta'ala is saying us.
This is my last question.
Okay.
I'm a bit confused with regards to the difference between sadaqah and zakat.
Okay. I explained this in detail in the beginning of the program. Zakat is obligatory 2.5%, and sadaqah will be either wajib or nafil. Sadaqah, for example, a person made a vow that if my mother recovers, I will give out charity, that is wajib sadaqah. Or a sadaqah can be nafil. That sadaqah which is nafil, optional, you can give to Muslim, non-Muslim, poor or rich.
Okay, Jazakallah for that call. Just a note to our listeners, we will not be taking any more calls. We are the studio is full with questions. The Mufti Sahib has a lot of questions to answer, so our lines are closed. Inshallah, you can call Mufti Sahib next week Sunday, inshallah, at the same time with your questions, or you could even fax it through to us, inshallah, and we would answer it for you. Mufti Sahib, the next question that we do have, a husband earns 500 rand a month. The wife makes roti and she sells roti. Now, together, they do not know their total income. So how do they calculate their zakat?
In this age, if a person is earning 500 rand, definitely he will not be liable to pay his zakat. And we make a lot of dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a lot of barakah to that 500 rand, because it will be extremely difficult to come out with 500 rand in this age and time. And definitely, I think that a person will not be liable to give zakat.
Okay, we've got another question here. Mufti, the question reads, I've got a house that is fully paid. Do I pay zakat on my house and do I pay zakat on my car?
You do not pay zakat on personal belongings like the house, the car, etc.
Okay, the next question we have, I have a savings account when I put 2,000 rand in every month. Now, after a period, does this person have, after a period, obviously he has a big amount, say a year, or say 10 months down the line, obviously about 20,000 rand or 24,000 rand after 12 months. Now, does he pay zakat on the entire amount?
Yes, he pays on the entire amount. Understand one very simple rule. This rule, you must understand it. A person, for example, at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of his zakat calculating year, he got 10,000 rand. Then in the 3 months later, he got 20,000 rand. That figure went to 20. And 3 months later, that figure went down to 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
But towards the end, when he started calculating, it went to 50,000 rand. He pays on 50,000 rand.
Okay. The next question that we have, the brother says he's collecting rent from a property that belongs to him. However, his debts are more than the rent that he collects. Now, must he pay zakat?
Obviously, his debts are liabilities. Now, and his rental is asset. And here, the liabilities are more than his assets. In this case, he does not pay any zakat.
The next question we have, a widow receives pension. Must she pay zakat on her savings?
The pension money, I do not know what's the figure, but I'm sure that by the time the month ends, that pension money is finished, and the widow will have no money and will be eagerly waiting for the next pension to come through. If that is the scenario,
then she would not have to pay zakat on it. However, if the widow is getting pension, if the widow is getting pension, but her, what we call, her sons or her brother, etc., they are supporting and they are giving her sufficient money, and she is able to save that pension. That means her saving, entire pension is a saving. And if this saving is more than the current nisab, which is 802 rand and 24 cents, then in that case she will pay zakat on the saving of the pension. But if the pension is spent, then she does not have to pay zakat on that.
Okay, the next question. Where in the Quran and Hadith does it say that a woman must cover her face? Please give reference.
First of all, that a person who reads the Quran can check up Surah Nur properly. And also you can email me on muftie@alislam.co.za. I'll send you an article concerning is it wajib to cover the face of a female. And the Shariat of Islam is not only based upon Quran Kareem. Shariat of Islam is based upon the Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. However, one, 2 points which I've already mentioned about the Ihram, that to be cover the face, that's a rule. The exception is to expose the face. Another quick point I would like to mention, that many biographies have been written, and biographies of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have been written, and the biographers have described in detail his face, and they have went at length to describe his forehead, his nose, his eyebrows, eyes, mouth, etc. And also of the Sahaba, biographies have been written and their facial descriptions have been given. But biographies have also been written about the female Sahabiya, but nowhere descriptions of their face have been given. Why no description was given? Because they were covered. Mm-hmm. Now, you do not have to be a rocket scientist to understand that.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that you do have on accumulated funds, set aside example for paying for paying tax. The person is a registered taxpayer and he knows that at the end of the year I pay example 12,000 rand or 11,000 rand. What happens once he pays the cut on that money that he has accumulated?
A person, I do not know about the taxations of the law, but don't you pay taxes monthly or whatever? Maybe that's provincial tax or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, understand the rule that at the time of calculating your zakat, if that money was with you, then you put it as part of your assets, classify it as your asset, because you have got ownership, possession, control over it, mm-hmm. and right of distribution over it, and you got 1 lunar year over it, so you pay zakat on it.
Okay, the next question, stock in trade, do you have to give zakat?
Stock in trade, which is paid up stock in trade, the current market-related value, you will pay zakat on it.
The next question that we have, how do I pay zakat on jewelry? I received it as a present, 3,000 rand. I did not save my money. Do I still have to pay zakat?
Yes, if you have got jewelry, and jewelry which is evaluated more than the nisab, it is very simple that you phone the jeweler and what you call, tell him what jewelry you got, he may ask you to bring it in to weigh it. And once you weigh it, then keep that slip with you. You don't have to take your jewelry and carry it around every Ramzan. Once you have got the weight of it and how many carats, etc., then you just have to phone them and they will evaluate your jewelry over the phone. But if you do not have any cash flow to pay for zakat on your jewelry, then it is necessary for you to sell the jewelry and make liquid so that you can have some cash flow to pay for the jewelry, the zakat of the jewelry.
Okay, the next question, money owing to you, do you still have to pay zakat?
Money owing to you, as long as it is not in your possession, you do not pay zakat. When it comes in your possession, pay zakat on it.
Okay, inherited money, do you have to pay zakat?
Obviously, inherited money, if it is over the amount of nisab, and if it is with you for 1 lunar year, then you pay zakat on it.
I have put 80,000 rand with 2 partners to buy goods, and when the goods arrived, they were not in working condition. And as a result, I have lost out on quite a bit, and I did not receive my money back. My question is, must I pay zakat on this amount of 80,000 rand?
No, what you have taken the 80,000 rand, and now the 80,000 rand is no more in cash and liquid, but it is in those goods. Now the goods, because you say they are defective in nature and they are not what you ordered, so you'll have to get someone to assess those goods. You'll have to get someone to assess it, because that 80,000, maybe they assess it as 20,000. But the 20,000 is above the nisab you pay on that 20,000. But if they have to say, no, this is like scrap material and you are going to get nothing for it, then you don't pay anything.
The final question, I have a house which I have rented to a non-Muslim. He stayed there for 2 years, and while staying there, he did not pay the water and electricity bill, which amounted to 13,000 rand, and now he does not stay there. My question is, can I pay zakat on this amount because he being a non-Muslim?
No, say that here slowly.
Okay, he said, I have a house which I have rented to a non-Muslim.
Yeah.
He stayed there for 2 years, and while staying there, he did not pay the water and electricity bill, which amounted to 13,000.
So 13,000 is his debt now.
Right.
Right.
And now he says that this person who was renting the house, he no more stays there. He wants to know is, can I pay zakat on this amount, on this 13,000 rand?
No, that is debt.
That is his debt.
Now he'll go part of his liability. Mm-hmm. That is not going to go part of his assets.
Okay, Jazakallah for those answers. Mufti, we have come to the end of today's program. Yes, the time has flew this afternoon. Don't forget to our listeners, inshallah, you can catch us your questions, inshallah, on 854-7024 or 7025 throughout the week. Inshallah, we would answer those questions next week, Sunday, around about 1:30, inshallah, when Mufti will be joining us again in the studio. Mufti, Jazakallah for your time. And to all our listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.